JC Corcoran Podcast.
I've used every swear man across the desert fair, man, in the mountain air, man, cussing like I got no cares, man. I've used every swear. I've used cocksucker, motherfucker, asshole, shit sucker, dick wad, fuck wad, shit dick, ass break, blowjob, cock drop, bitch ass, nut job, pen dick, big prick, suck dick, ass shit, ass back, bag hat, cum lick, dirt bag, dog fuck, non crotch, stink, puss job. I've used every swear man, cross the desert, fair man, in the mountain, air man, cussing like I got no cares, man. I've used every swear. I've used ass, wife, ass, clown, bumble, fuck, chick, clown, chicken, chuffle, clisser, fuck, cum, bubble, cum, fuck, dick, face, dipshit, douchebag, fuck, wet, ass, rag, dick, smack, cock, butt, clit, hat, hoochie, mama, finger, head, fuck, tar, dick, head, punk, ass, jack, shit, butt, ranger, dick, lick. I've used every swear, man, cross the desert, fair, man, in the mountain, air, man, cussing like I got no cares, man. I've used every swear. I've used ass blast, ass friend, ass breath, ass white, bean flick, butt munch, candy ass, butt white, chicken chick, cock, holster, cunt, sucker, dick, brain, dick, wad, dick, head, dick, munch, dick, pain, dumb, fuck, fart, knuckle, fuck, a bitch, fuck, head, fuck, base, fudge, fucker, jizz, mop, a whole back.
I've used every swear, man, cross the desert, fair, man, in the mountain, air, man, cussing like I got no cares, man. I've used every swear.
I've used cocksucker, motherfucker, asshole, shit sucker, dick wad, fuck wad, shit dick, ass prick, blowjob, cock drop, bitch ass, nut job, pen dick, big prick, suck dick, ass shit, ass back, bag head, cum lick, dirt bag, dog fuck, non crotch, stink, puss jump.
I've used every swear, man, cross the desert, fair, man, in my underwear, man, cussing like I got no cares, man. I've used every swear.
No, I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous, don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest as jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over again.
Tuesday, the 23rd of November, 2021, here at JCOnTheLine.com. We have a podcast for you today. We got another one tomorrow, and then we're going to take a couple of days off like everybody else. But here we are and ready to go today, and Stan Kroenke is nervous, and it is fun to watch. This is a guy who I don't really think he's accustomed to being nervous. He's one of those guys who goes around making other people nervous, okay? Now his shoe's on the other foot, and this is so funny to watch. You got a trial coming up on January 10th. And Stan knows he can't win it. And he knows that he could be out, close to $1 billion. It could wipe out 2/3 of his overall wealth. And so he's trying to make a deal. And I think the city of St. Louis and the St. Louis Sports Commission and everybody on our side of this thing, I think they're playing this thing beautifully. So often, you're sitting here scratching your head going, how can the people who run St. Louis do such stupid shit and just not have their shit together? Then something like this happens, and it's like, okay, you guys are playing this beautifully. Now you get the credit that you deserve. So we'll see what happens. Anyhow, this thing's going into mediation today. So Stan is sending his lawyers in, along with the lawyers from the city of St. Louis, and they're trying to work something out. They've already turned down $100 million. How much fun is this? So watch this space. Speaking of lawyers, Michael Cohen got out of jail and popped up on CNN yesterday. Now, this runs a little longer than what I generally like to play here on the podcast, because the attention span sometimes can be an issue We like to keep things rolling. We like to keep things moving. And recent research, shall we say, in terms of radio and podcasting listening is indicative of the idea that after 2 or 3 minutes of you guys listening to something that isn't the host, in this case me, if it's longer than 2 or 3 minutes, people just start to go, yeah. Okay, so this runs about 5, but I think it's absolutely fascinating. This thing is packed with information, regardless of what side of the political aisle you're sitting on. Here's Michael Cohen. This is the fixer. Okay, remember this guy? This is the fixer for Donald Trump. He's paying off hush money to people like Stormy Daniels, you know, taking out a second mortgage on his own house so that the paper trail doesn't lead to his boss, Donald Trump. Only one problem, Donald Trump throws you under the bus, and certain people start singing. I'm not sure that Roger Stone, who was indicted yesterday, I'm sorry, not indicted, subpoenaed, okay. So Roger Stone was subpoenaed yesterday. He ain't going to say anything, but a lot of people are saying anything, including Michael Cohen. So anyhow, this is the guy. This is the guy, the former Trump lawyer. And here he is yesterday on CNN. I think this is absolutely fascinating. Listen carefully.
You were the only person who was ever prosecuted for those hush money payments. Well, how do you explain that?
You can't explain it. But I do want to make this promise to you and to all of your viewers that I may have been prosecuted. And right now I am the only one, but I will not be the only one at the end of the...
For this crime?
For this crime and for others.
Who else will be prosecuted for the hush money payments?
I'm going to leave that to the district attorney and to the attorney general to continue their investigations and continue their...
Who else was involved?
Well, there were quite a few people that were involved. Eric Trump was involved. Obviously, Alan Weisselberg was already under indictment. Don Jr., Ivanka. There were a slew of people.
As we just played, this morning you vowed to continue helping investigators. And we know that you have been helping the Manhattan District Attorney in their investigation against the Trump Organization and Alan Weisselberg, the CFO, who you just mentioned. I think that you've met with them, I mean, according to reports, like a dozen times or something. And so what's the status of that?
The status is they're working on it. They're working on it hard. And as you know, Donald is litigious. And so they want to ensure that they have everything in order before they bring this. Obviously, they don't want to bring disrepute to the office. And they have to make sure that when they do file those indictments against anyone whose last name is Trump or others, that those indictments stick.
When did you last meet with them?
I can't say any of that, but it's on a regular and ongoing basis.
You've always predicted on our air and elsewhere that Donald Trump and his adult children would be indicted, but that hasn't happened.
Not yet.
Why not?
The wheels of justice turn slowly, but at the end of the day, they do ultimately turn full circle.
I mean, if you have been providing valuable and legitimate information to the investigators, what's taking so long?
That you're going to have to ask to Mr. Pomerantz, to Cy Vance, and to Tish James. I believe, personally, that they have more than enough in order to bring the indictments yesterday.
So you believe that you have provided actual receipts, actual evidence of crimes being done, or did you just sort of directionally point them in the right
way? Or a combination of both. A combination of both.
That's what you think, that
yes.
You have.
Mm-hmm.
And you still, as you sit here today, believe that Donald Trump will be indicted for something.
I do.
You've obviously paid a very steep price for your association with Donald Trump. You're not alone. By our last count, at least 11 close Donald Trump associates have been charged with crimes for work that they've done that was somehow connected to Donald Trump. Why do you think so many people around Donald Trump get charged with crimes and he does not?
Because we're stupid? I have no idea. I mean, in all fairness, I don't have an answer for it. You know, Donald, as everybody is well aware, never had an email address. And so even, and I talk about this in my book, Disloyal, he doesn't tell you what to do. He'll never tell you, you know, go get me a Coke. He just screams out Coke. Right. So this is the way a mob boss speaks. This is what a mob boss does. They speak in code. And that way he thinks that that's going to stop them from being able to prosecute him for the actions that are taken at his direction. Right. And for his benefit. And he would be wrong.
As you know, there's a lot of speculation about whether or not Donald Trump will run for president again in 2024. Bill Maher has been talking about this a lot, including he was just on with Chris Cuomo, I believe, last week. So here's what he said that night.
Trust me, he's going to run. Absolutely. He's going to get the nomination. And I certainly wouldn't be surprised if he just won the election. But even if he doesn't win the election, he will say he won the election.
Do you agree?
No, I don't agree. And Bill Maher is a great guy. I was on his show. I enjoy it very much, but he's absolutely wrong. Donald will not run.
Why?
Because, first of all, he has an incredibly fragile ego. He lost by, what, 9 million votes the first time? He will lose by more than 9 million the second. And his fragile ego cannot stand to be considered a two-time loser.
But won't he just say that he won, just like what Bill Maher said? Even if he loses, he'll just say that he won.
Why? He's already saying it for the 2020 election that he won, and he'll just continue that. This is nothing more than the world's greatest grift. He's bringing in money greater than when he had the Trump Organization with all of its assets. So why would he give this up? And he will only give it up on the day of the election. He will drag this thing on all the way to the end. I have an original document that Donald, well, I actually penned it, but he signed it, which is why I have it, whereby he decided not to run in 2011. And of course, the reasons he talked about was his real estate. He was, you know, The Apprentice and so on. He's going to do the same thing. The only difference this time versus last is that he's making money each and every day by sending out more texts. Oh, Donald's run, send $25.
So you think it's just a fundraising scheme, but doesn't he like the power? Didn't he enjoy being president with all of that power that we saw him exert?
He's completely addicted to the power, but he doesn't need to be the president in his mind to be the man behind the power, which of course goes to his adage, right? Come and kiss the ring. That's a Donald adage.
He says that?
Yeah, all the time, that they're all coming to Mar-a-Lago to kiss the ring.
So that's why you think, why do you think he still holds sway over so many leading Republicans?
Because he still has a base of people who I truly don't understand, who don't understand that Donald Trump does not want to be president of this country. He wants to be a dictator, an autocrat, a monarch. He wants to be the Kim Jong-un, the Vladimir Putin, the Mohammed bin Salman of America. The only problem is that's not what we want. We're a democracy, and you know we have a constitution, and he's trying to shred this constitution on a daily basis by violating people like my First Amendment constitutional rights and doing other things, all in order to grab the power that he thinks he's entitled to.
Now, if you like Donald Trump, if you voted for him, you might listen to all that and go, it's all bullshit. That would be hard to do if you're a critical thinker, if you're not just drinking the Kool-Aid and accepting anything you're being told about Donald Trump, that is, as long as it's positive, you know, and you're rejecting all information, regardless of the legitimacy of the news source, you just turn everything down because you love Donald Trump and he can do no wrong. But if you're outside that little pack of deplorables, as Hillary Clinton said, if you're in the majority and you're listening to this going, holy shit. So I don't know, but it's getting interesting, isn't it? I got to say, I'm a little puzzled by this story coming out of Ledoux. You remember the story a couple of years ago, I want to say maybe 3-4 years ago, and there's a female Ledoux cop, and she shows up at Ledoux Crossing because she is told that a shoplifter has just left the store. I believe it was Schnucks. So the female cop arrives on the scene and sees a woman who happens to be black walking across the parking lot, and for whatever reason has determined that this must be the suspect, and she reaches down to her side, grabs her stun gun to disable this woman who she believes is a shoplifter. There's only one problem. Instead of pulling her stun gun, she pulls her real gun and she shoots this woman in the abdomen. One small technical problem with all of this, and that is that the woman was not a shoplifter. She was completely innocent. This female Ledoux cop is charged. The mugshot is unbelievable. I mean, she's looking just absolutely devastated. She's got tears in her eyes. Looks like she's coming apart. But still, it's hard to feel sorry for her because she shot an innocent person. That person's got a bullet in her abdomen. And then there are other problems. I'm not a ballistics expert, but I know that a pistol, a service revolver, and a stun gun don't look alike. They don't feel alike. And in fact, the stun gun is in a holster on one side of your hip, and your service revolver is in a holster on the other side of your hip. So not only did she reach down to the wrong side and grab the wrong device, so you see where this is going, until yesterday when all the charges are dropped against the Ladue cop. And I'm thinking to myself, what just happened here? Did I miss something? Well, I'm telling you, if these three guys in South Carolina get off somehow, we already have an entire country, a giant section of which doesn't believe that our political elections are legitimate anymore. And now you have more and more people questioning the legitimacy of the American legal system and their ability to get things right after everything that's been happening the last couple of years and last week. Country's coming apart, folks. Country's coming apart. Sometimes I get teased, you know, because every day we introduce the show, I tell you how many days are left in the American democratic system as we've known it, which, by the way, today is 350, because when we hit these midterms next year, if some of this stuff isn't resolved and people still go to the polls not believing that their vote is going to count or that the election is legitimate on some level, this is like watching those giant polar ice caps just crumble right in front of people's eyes. Everybody has seen those videos. It's like giant glaciers just falling into the ocean and dissolving. Might be a metaphor for what's happening to the infrastructure of these here United States of America. All right, let's shift gears a little bit here. Jay Leno is going to play Ed Sullivan in a biopic about the Beatles manager Brian Epstein. I'm like, huh? Going to have to bring in industrial light and magic to reduce the size of Jay Leno's jaw if he's playing Ed Sullivan. An acoustic guitar used by Eric Clapton when he was in Derek the Dominoes just sold for $625,000. Kevin Spacey's got to come up with $31 million to the production company of House of Cards because he violated the on-set sexual harassment policy. Kevin Spacey was fired in 2017 over sexual misconduct allegations. Where's he going to get $31 million? This is fun. 85 years ago today, the year was 1936. I guess I didn't realize that it went back that far. The first Life magazine was published. If you're old, like me, you remember how exciting it was when Life magazine would show up. Man, you'd open that thing up and read it cover to cover, and there was always something really provocative or interesting or timely, whatever it was, on the cover, and then you'd have, you know, just these amazing displays of photography and everything. It was really, really cool, all the way back to 1936. 9 years ago today, 2012, Larry Hagman died of leukemia. He was 81 years old. He was, of course, on I Dream of Jeannie back in the 1960s. Normally, that would not be a big, big story to be doing here on the podcast, but it then allows me to reach back into the vault for this.
The A-List Interview with JC and the Morning Show, Graham.
The star of I Dream of Jeannie, Larry Hagman, and pranks on the set of the show.
Bill Daly, I suppose. Bill was fun, and he used to do things back to me, too. He's a great guy.
How far would you take something like this?
Oh, well, one day we stuffed a lion in his dressing room when he came off stage.
So the answer being, I guess you would take it pretty far.
Yes.
Now, wait a minute, where do you get a lion?
Well, we were shooting with a lion, and the guy said, can we stick it in Bill Daly's dressing room? They said, okay. But the lion took a big dump in there, so. It added to the whole shock value when he opened that door.
Yeah, Larry, I guess you'd take it pretty far. All right, let's talk about this new movie, House of Gucci, starring Lady Gaga, which is going to open at a theater near you on Thursday. You know, when she did A Star is Born in 2018, if you were skeptical, you could have made the argument that the degree of difficulty for Lady Gaga wasn't really that challenging because it's sort of like playing something that's not that dissimilar from her own story. But in this new thing, this drama, House of Gucci, she is amazing, and it's a completely unique role. She plays the unlikely bride of the family's only son, played by Adam Driver, both of whom rise to power in the company's ultra-competitive world of high-end fashion. Her character is Patrizia Reggiani, the daughter of a small business owner in Milan in the 1970s. Now, Adam Driver is playing the son of the big Gucci, you know, the big Gucci, played by Jeremy Irons. And when this character, when the dad realizes that his cherished only son he is serious about marrying her, he loses his mind. He cuts him out of the will. He disowns him. But along comes the uncle of Adam Driver's character, the son, and he's played by Al Pacino. And Pacino is sympathetic to his nephew's situation. He adores this new woman who's marrying into the family, and he works sort of like via back channels in a thinly veiled attempt to smooth things out. Then along comes Jared Leto, who you won't even recognize. I was a half hour into the movie before I realized that this guy was Jared Leto. He's a frustrated designer, sort of on the fringe of the family dynasty. And you can tell from the moment that he appears on screen that this guy is not to be trusted. Now, as the Gucci family faces changing fashion trends, it turns into a complicated whirlwind of betrayal, reckless behavior, a general state of madness, havoc in the company. Director Ridley Scott, who did Alien and Thelma and Louise, Black Hawk Down, he really uses the beautiful European countryside as well as some breathtaking backdrops of the Swiss Alps to enhance his storytelling. It's a pretty movie. There's an absolutely torrid sex scene between Lady Gaga and Adam Driver that I'm sure some people are going to refer to as pornographic. It's early on in the movie, but it really shows these two actors, Adam Driver and Lady Gaga, in a total dedication to these two roles. Now, the movie is a little long. It's a little bit over 2.5 hours. And by the way, there's been stuff on the internet about, you know, they're saying that Lady Gaga's thick Italian accent falters from time to time. I think that's complete bullshit. In fact, these comments really piss me off. There's people out there who haven't even seen the movie and they're criticizing it already. They're part of this internet mob that systematically attacks stars, especially women, with made-up bullshit. Anyhow, House of Gucci may not appeal to audiences looking for car chases and explosions, but the reason to see this movie is Lady Gaga. This is an Oscar-worthy performance. I would be shocked, stunned, if she doesn't get a nomination, and I could definitely see her winning for Best Actress. So you might want to save up to buy a little Gucci umbrella for yourself because it could be raining Oscars on this movie come March. 4 out of 5 corks for House of Gucci. It opens on Thanksgiving Day. Speaking of which, a new poll found 1 in 6 Americans will attend multiple Thanksgivings this year. I guess some people won't actually be doing them on the same day. Like you might do a Thanksgiving on Thursday and then do another Thanksgiving on Friday. It's a lot of mashed potatoes to stuff in your face over the course of 48 hours. 53% of us only plan to attend one Thanksgiving this year. 12% said 2. 5% said 3 or more. People in their mid-20s and mid-30s will go to the most dinners. 1 in 9 said 3 Thanksgivings or more. Now, if you're driving on Thanksgiving, you might want to get on the road like now. Traffic this Thursday is expected to peak between noon and 3, and the best time to be on the road is before 11 o'clock in the morning. The best times to be on the road over the next 5 days. Traffic should be its lowest tomorrow from 9 p.m. to Thursday before 11 a.m. They're basically suggesting that you drive all night. The worst times to be on the road, tomorrow between noon and 8 p.m., Thursday, Thanksgiving Day, between noon and 3, Friday between 1 and 4, Saturday between 2 and 7, and Sunday between 1 and 7 p.m. If you're looking to get the best deals on Black Friday, somebody went through all the Black Friday ads they could find and compared the prices to how much each product normally costs if you just buy it on Amazon. Here's what they found. Consumer packaged goods will have the deepest discounts this year. That means small stuff you use up and have to replace all the time, like toilet paper and toothpaste. If you stock up on Black Friday, you could save an extra 45%. Clothes are next at 40%, followed by toys at 34%. At the other end of the list, stuff you won't see huge discounts on. Number one, computers and phones. If you're hoping to score a new phone on Black Friday, don't expect to save more than 20%, which is still not bad, but there might be slightly better deals on other electronics, though, like TVs. How about some Thanksgiving Day hacks, especially as it comes to your meal? Cooking a full Thanksgiving dinner is a lot, especially if you're doing it yourself. Let's start with the potatoes. Don't peel them. Boil them with the skin on, then put them straight into an ice bath. Skins will fall right off. Don't make a whole turkey. A turkey breast is faster and easier to make, feeds up to 4 people. Two of them feed eight, so that's a good hack if you're not having a lot of people over. Preheat your roasting pans. Leave them in the oven while you're preheating it, and things will cook faster. It's especially good for roasting vegetables. Make gravy in a blender. Instead of stirring and simmering, you can thicken it. Get all the lumps out with a blender. Just Google gravy blender recipe, and it's right there. And use store-bought ingredients to your advantage. For example, most people expect green bean casserole to be made with cream of mushroom soup. So making the sauce from scratch probably isn't worth it. And do your guests actually want homemade cranberry sauce? Or would they be happy with the canned stuff that comes out in the jelly that's in exactly the same shape as the can, right down to the little ridges on the side? All right, late night tonight, Jimmy Fallon's got Haley Steinfeld and Avril Lavigne, John Bernthal on with Jimmy Kimmel, Stephen Colbert as Lady Gaga and Tony Bennett, BTS on with James Corden, Seth Meyers, Lin-Manuel Miranda, and Rachel Dratch, formerly of Saturday Night Live. Looks like Kim Kardashian left a hickey on Pete Davidson's neck. He was out walking around with it yesterday. I think I would too. Birthdays today, Miley Cyrus. Boy, a lot of miles on her already, huh? 29. Kelly Brook. Now we're talking. 42 today in more ways than one. Chris Hardwick, host of The Walking Dead recap, 50 today. Bruce Hornsby, as in The Range, The Way It Is, Mandolin Ray, Every Little Kiss, 67 today. Bruce Valanche, used to be on Hollywood Squares, 73. And Gay as Christmas, as my pal Laurie Mack used to say, quoting her own mother down there in Georgia. And this was a weird one. I get a call yesterday from my friend Jay Philpott, used to do afternoons on various radio stations in St. Louis, and then took a primo gig up in Minneapolis at a legendary classic rock station up there, and he's doing great. And he calls me yesterday. He goes, "I'm not going to believe this. There's this guy who has a website, and what he does is he digs back into old radio archives from all over the country. And somehow they found a recording of us on the Morning Zoo in 1985, and we were featured yesterday on this guy's website. I don't know who this guy is. I've never heard of him. I've never met him. I don't even know how he got the tape. And in fact, when I heard this, it was like, I don't even remember doing this. I mean, it's me and everything, but I have no recollection of this. Then again, it was July of 1985. So what the guy does, he does a little intro and then gives you a little background as to, you know, what things were like in 1985 and the fact that me and John Hewlett were there and DJ and Nancy Cracker for a little while. And then they say, okay, well, now here's the tape. And then you hear like a 4 or 5 minute segment from an old show. And in this case, something that we were doing in 1985. Now, this is just me because it's right at the end of the show at 10 o'clock. So we used to have everybody together up until 9, and then I would solo it from 9 until 10 o'clock, and then the U-Man would come over and take the reins starting at 10 o'clock, and he would do the midday show on Casey back in the day. The only other thing you need to know about this is the name Brian Bridgman. We were the sensation, the Morning Zoo on Casey back in the middle 1980s. If you were around, I don't have to tell you how big things got. It's still shocking to me. And we made a very large target, you know, so people were always coming after us. And the program director for KWK at the time, well, he came up to me once in the parking lot at a Bob Seger concert. And I thought he was some high school kid or something. He was very young and also very young looking. Well, it turned out he was the program director of our competition. He started, you know, chirping at me. And I was like, oh, God. Go back to high school. Get your GED something. So you're going to hear a reference to Brian Bridgman. I just felt that you should know who that is. Anyhow, so this was featured all over the country yesterday and around the world on the web. It was a complete shock and surprise. And it's really funny to listen to. Maybe the word isn't funny. Maybe it's odd. And also, I sound, my voice is higher. I sound like I'm about 13 years old in this whole thing. So here, you want to talk about an acid flashback. Back to 1985 we go in the old Morning Zoo.
Hiya. Welcome to LSB Feasters Radio Channel and Travel Corner, where our mission in life is keeping great radio alive. Today, we're going to St. Louis and the legendary KSHE 95, KSHE. This station's been around, it seems like forever. It's a legend in St. Louis, and so is their morning show. Back in the 80s, they had the Morning Zoo. Pretty much every city in America had a top 40 station or a rock and roll station with a morning zoo, and St. Louis was no exception. The members of the Morning Zoo in St. Louis were John Hewlett, or U-Man as he was known. He actually started at the radio station in 1976, and as of 2020, he is still at KSHE 95. Also, J.C. Corcoran, Don Johnson, or DJ as they called him. He was there from the mid-80s to the early 90s. All right, let's go back to 1985 with the KSHE 95 Morning Zoo in St. Louis.
The Morning Zoo's gonna take you away down to the islands for a holiday. So shout it loud enough for us, your reels to hear.
Get ready for the party of the year.
As you might guess, we'll be chasing all the island girls.
Oh, fresh.
And the U-Man will be lying in the sun, sipping on a coconut filled with rum. Shout it loud enough for all your reels to hear.
Get ready for the party of the year.
KSHE's coming and they're coming on strong. And most of St. Louis will be coming along. Rocking in Jamaica. We'll be rocking in Jamaica with the morning zoo.
KSHE 95, rocking and rolling you here in St. Louis for almost 19 years now. And some of the blood-sucking scum at the two top 40 disco radio stations here in town, namely KHTR, KWK. Of course, Brian Adams, that was our concert announcement. We made it first, where you always get the concert information first. We put together a fine promotion, and the next thing we know, not only are these other two scummy, syphilitic, sorry Ruth, radio stations trying to suck the blood off of our Brian Adams concert, but are also claiming to be, oh, you know, they're, you know, KHTR, the concert leader. Oh, yeah. The one that really cracks me up is KHTR with the new music first. So we're going to do something to prove how totally fallacious that is. Brian Bridgman just got excited when he heard me say fallacious. No, that's not what it means, Brian. Go look it up. yeah, I tried to get this girl to do some fallacious on me. Oh, no, Brian. Grow up, little boy. So anyhow, basically what it boils down to here is we have other radio stations that went out and purchased Brian Adams tickets, and they're giving, like, you know, four pairs of tickets away on the air or something like that. Big deal. Okay, we've already given away Brian Adams tickets on the air. We did many weeks ago. I don't know if we'll have any more to just toss around on the air, but what we decided to do is put together something very classy, and if I don't mind saying so myself, impressive, in case you have not heard. Limo service in a Silver Cloud Rolls Royce. Silver Cloud Rolls Royce. When's the last time you were driving in a Rolls? When's the last time one of these other radio stations in town gave you the opportunity to ride around in a Rolls Royce? Answers, please. I don't see any hands raised. All right, we'll move on to the next. Dinner for four at Tony's. Yeah. Number three, four front row tickets to Brian Adams. Let's have a show of hands. KHTR, KWK, how many front row tickets do you have to give away? I don't see any hands. Four backstage passes and the guarantee that you will meet Brian Adams. KHTR, KWK, let's show of hands here. How many of you have backstage passes for your listener? But no hands again. Well, oh, And, of course, JC will be on stage Saturday night to welcome the crowd and introduce Brian Adams. KHDR, KWK, you guys are going to be on stage, right? Oh, sorry. Well, I rest my case. All you have to do is mail in or hand deliver a postcard. It says KC95 Night in Heaven, 9420 Watson Road, St. Louis, Mo, 63126. Postcards have to be postmarked by midnight, July 24th, or dropped off here by 5 p.m. Wednesday afternoon. The drawing is Friday morning here on the zoo. You got to be at least 18. Now, people say, JC, don't even bother with KHTR and KWK because nobody believes them anyhow. The problem is, once you adopt that attitude, that's when people start getting away with something. If you hear somebody say something long enough, you just might end up believing them if you're not paying attention. Just ask Hitler. Okay, so I just don't believe in letting them flap their traps without making them prove it. Making them back it up. Real tough talk on the air over at those other two radio stations. Real tough talk. We will see you Saturday night at Brian Adams on stage. You will see our four Casey guests come up in the Rolls Royce, their stomachs fat from their dinner at Tony's, marching down to the front row, then marching backstage with their backstage passes, and coming out of the arena on Saturday night late, dazed and confused after meeting Mr. Adams face to face. We rest our case. KHDR, KWK, it's your turn, boys. Thank you. 94.7 St. Louis's number one music station. Julian Lennon right there. I got a live one here. I think I got a live. Oh, you're on the air.
Hey, JC.
Yes.
What's going on?
I'm just hanging out.
Just hanging out being cool, huh?
Trying to get back into the groove after my vacation.
How was it?
Okay. I did a lot of lounging around, and then I worked on the house, and I went to Washington, D.C., and that's about it.
Did you go poolside lots?
There were no pools where I was.
Oh, bummer.
Yeah. But, well, next vacation. I got 2 more weeks of vacation yet this year, and we'll try to do some poolside action then.
Well, come on over to my pool.
Come on down to my pool, baby. Come on down where we can play.
What part
town?
You know
what part town you live in?
St. Charles, Harvester.
Uh-huh. And what is your name?
My name is Cheryl.
Cheryl.
Mm-hmm.
And how old are you, Cheryl?
21.
Cheryl, you're lying, I can tell.
No, I'm not. I wish I was.
How old are you, Cheryl?
I'm 21.
You are 21.
Yes, and, I wish I was lying.
How is it that you have a pool and you're able to lounge poolside? You don't have a job?
Oh, I work full-time, but Danny takes care of me, too.
Okay, you work full-time doing what?
I work for Metropolitan Insurance.
Uh-huh. Well, why aren't you at work right now?
I am.
Oh, I see. So if I went to your... So if I went to your pool, I'd be there by myself.
No, my brother would be there.
No, see, Cheryl, you don't understand. We don't want
to
be
lounging.
We don't want to be lounging poolside with your brother. We don't want to be lounging poolside with cute little Cheryl. As long as you promise you don't try to sell me insurance.
I promise I won't. Hey, JC, I want to know something.
What?
I think that I should get a certificate of honor membership to KC95.
Oh, yeah? What'd you do to qualify for that?
My car is KC Totally. It's a bright red Mustang 85 GT. It's got KC pigs in the side window. It's got KC on the back, and on the front of the bra that it has on, it's got a KC pig.
How about on the front of your bra?
I don't have enough to support to wear a bra.
Cheryl. What, do you have other fine attributes that would make me find you attractive?
Very.
Like what? We're talking tush, huh?
That's not very big either. It
doesn't have to be big to be world class.
Very classy.
Well, you can have a world class dumper and still have a small one.
Hey, I thought you was going off air. It's 10 o'clock.
We're just running a little late here because I'm talking to you. Well, this is sounding all very wonderful, Cheryl, so I'll tell you what you do. You put your little bikini on, and you park the old Mustang next to the pool. You send me a picture, and sometime when I have a weekend free, I'll come trucking out to St. Charles, okay?
That sounds excellent, JC.
Send me that photo.
Hey, bring me a...
Make it a photograph that is really going to make the man at Photomat blush, okay?
Okay.
All right, do
hey,
it, Cheryl.
Hey, listen, JC.
Yes?
Play Let It Be, will
ya? I'll try to do it.
All right.
Okay, bye.
Good talking to you.
Bye-bye. Little voice in the back of my head just kept going. If you know what I mean, folks. If you know what I mean.
We're on a mission from God.
and that girl, by the way, is now 57. Have a nice day. All right, that's it for the J.C. Corcoran podcast for Tuesday, November 23rd, 2021. 350 days left in democracy as we have known it. We are back tomorrow with the Thanksgiving edition of the J.C. Corcoran podcast, and then we'll take a couple of days. Oh, no, on Fox 2, they're showing somebody putting gravy on corn. Be more careful. God, what are you guys doing? I'm sorry, where was I? Tomorrow, yeah, blah, blah, blah. Have a nice day.
The J.C. Corcoran Podcast.